recommendation, Henry.
Yeah.
Last night I went to see Avatar 2.
Oh my God, yes.
Oh.
It'll get you eventually, Mike. It really will.
That's what I'm dreading.
It's quite hard to process, isn't it? When you were talking about it last week, you were saying you were having a hard time wrapping your head around it. I'm in a very similar situation, I think.
Yeah.
Obviously, let's not talk about it too much because we don't want this podcast to become a sort of Avatar fan podcast.
Yeah.
Well, we rarely touch on the subject, do we?
We could pivot to that.
If
the current format is shaking a bit.
My
only sort of thought of it, do you remember the... you were saying that it's quite dated.
Yeah.
It feels dated.
Yes.
And I was thinking, it does feel dated. I wonder why it is that it feels dated. And it's 100% the music, which is off the peg, 90s Hollywood ethnic. Do you remember that? All I was reminded of, do you remember that advert in the 90s in Britain for, I think, Chatham and Gloucester or one of the other big building societies that featured a kind of slightly feral-looking, long-haired, topless child diving for pearls?
Oh, yes, I do vaguely remember that. I remember his face.
To the soundtrack of Carl Jenkins' Adiamus. It's inconceivable to me that James Cameron didn't have that at the front of his mind throughout the entire production process.
And by the way, for any of our foreign listeners, if you haven't been to either Cheltenham or Gloucester... That they are exactly like that, aren't they, as places? They're almost... If you're not a pearl diver, you either work... You know, people... You organise pearl divers or you take pearl... You know, everyone works in the pearl diving industry, don't they? On one
or you dive for pearl divers.
You dive for pearl divers at a loft that are trapped under huge, big pearls.
You
insure pearl divers.
You
buff pearls. So what's that... Who's the soundtrack by for that ad?
So there was it was a big 90s thing, wasn't it? Carl Jenkins, who's a Welsh composer, did a thing called Adiamus, which is he made up a language, didn't he, for it? So he wanted it to sound kind of tribal.
There's a lot of that in the film, and there was a lot of that in the 90s. It's not the same thing, but...
It seems kind of offensive to me. I don't quite know why, but it feels like it's...
Yeah, no, it is offensive.
They've gone off the peg tribal too much.
It's embracing tribal things to the extent of going...
But in very non-specific tribal.
And you can imagine someone in the studio going, I think we need to put more percussion in, because they use a lot of percussion.
Exactly, there's a lot of kalimba.
You just know, they just... Look, just take my word for it, they do. it's embracing that sort of... tribal things to the extent of, for example, going, I've got a single band of leather. It's a leather necklace that goes around. And on the end of it, you'll notice I'm a pretty cool guy because it's actually got a small shell which dangles on the end of it. Anyway, look at me, listen to me going on. Guys, we are Omnibank. And today is the day we launch total global control. Omnibank on every corner, every corner. There's going to be an Omnibank. Let's do it. Omnibank. That's our new theme tune. I'm just something I'm playing around with. Isn't it? Headquarters in Singapore and Singapore, Singapore, and now introducing Singapore. Omnibank. Isn't it?
More pearl divers in the advert. More pearl divers.
More panpipes. More breathy panpipes, please.
Hammer, hammer, hey.
We need more pipes where you can hear the person breathing as much as you can hear the instrument itself.
So you can always feel the lips around the aperture of the shell or conch.
Because it's visceral.
In fact, sorry, that's the Omnibank theme, isn't it? So the Omnibank theme, guys, the new Omnibank theme is hamma hamma hey oh hey hamma hey oh hey hamma hey oh hey. And in the same way that when you listen to a conch, you hear the sound of the sea. When you listen to the financial markets,
someone blowing through a bit of gold bullion.
Yeah. That's what our shareholders hear. That's right. Now, also, if you'll notice, if I pull up my sleeve here, you'll notice that I also have a single leather band, just a small, simple leather band that goes around my wrist. On the end of it, you can see a small tooth. And I remember I cut this on my year off. I was travelling around South India and say, it's a lovely story. But sorry, listen to me going on. Well, I should be announcing our new policy, which is secretly draining pension funds world round to fund the coffers of Pomni Bank. Hum, hum, hey, oh, hey, oh. Yeah. That's the sound of a pension fund being drained. Yeah?
All yeah, that kind of so thing. That's the thing I think it really stands out for me is like, James Cameron must have said to the composer,
have you ever been abroad?
No.
Good.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Kind of good. African, but also kind of Pacific Islands, but also South America, but kind of Asia. As well. Just can you sort of try and draw on that? But just an imagined version of what that might be. You know, don't
is an HMV
look into
voucher. Go and get yourself a couple of world music CDs. Yeah. Right, yeah. Just smush that all together.
Don't go deep into the world music section, though. Keep it for their sort of recommended top 10. And if they've got a little display bit with stuff on it, don't go too deep.
But then also, just don't actually listen to the CDs. Just look at the case and imagine what it might
be.
Yeah, a weird film. Very weird.
Yeah, it's panpipes. It's, blowing through conches. So very, very percussive and sort of rhythmic. But yeah, with that uplifting.
I assume there's just one single professional vocalist in Hollywood, and she's sick and bloody tired every day.
The go-to hammer here, lady.
What is it today? It's another hammer.
It's here. Another hammer here.
Oh. Okay. Hey, man. I feel a bit rum about this now, guys. I think the world's moved on. It's paying your mortgage.
But at the same time, she has hammered her kids through college, hasn't she? Exactly.
She has hammered them through college.
At the same time.
She's got a sweet new Hyundai. She buys a fresh Hyundai i10 every 2 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
And just drives the old one into the sea.
She's taking the hammered dollar.
And also the opposition, he draws a very, very clear opposition, does he, in the film between, so that there's the colonial forces of evil and then the tribal forces of goodness, and also technology and...
And natural wisdom.
And natural wisdom, isn't it? So there's all the robot crabs, robot...
Telepathic sea cucumbers versus robo crab.
Versus robo crab, exactly.
Yeah.
Is there a musical motif for the colonial bastards? Do they have...
Bum, ba, ba.
I think they'll have militaristic...
It's all very off the peg music.
Holsty Mars business.
Off the peg militaristic.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
You've got to see it, Mike. I mean...
It feels that way, doesn't it? But the idea of it is making me feel tired all over already.
The first half is really hard going, and then it sort of picks up when they all start shooting each other.
Yeah.
Basically. There's also a really annoying little mini Tarzan.
Oh, yeah, the mini
character.
The mini Tarzan. I've forgotten about him. He's unbelievable.
Is he a scamp? Is he?
There's a human child that for some reason has grown up with the Na'vi people.
Ah.
And they show this by, he's a white child.
Yeah.
Who's got dreadlocks.
Uh-huh.
And that's how they show that he's gone.
So again, he looks like a 90s, he looks like you've sort of tried to genetically splice and recreate a 90s guy, isn't it? It's all talking
surfer.
About 90s. In 97, you've got this little white guy.
He's carrying a surfboard at all times.
He's got bleached sort of blonde dreadlocks, hasn't he?
Mm.
Yeah.
And
loincloth?
Sorts,
yeah,
tiny
basically.
Loincloth.
Yeah, okay.
I felt so sorry for that actor. It's an absolutely thankless job he's got.
And it's quite a big role, but I've got no idea who the actor is who plays him.
It's not a James Cameron secret cameo, is it?
I mean, he's ripped.
He's in
very
incredible
young.
Shape, if it is. He's incredible. I felt really sorry for the actor as well because most of the time he's in scenes with CG characters. So it's like everyone else is just in a CG loincloth with their fake blue body out, whereas he's the only one that I've actually got to get in a bloody loincloth again today. Oh, God. Everyone else is just CG and I'm actually here in a bloody loincloth.
Everyone else has got to put ping pong balls in their knobs.
But they've all got to put ping pong balls on their knobs. That's the other thing. It would have been quite a sight, wouldn't it?
And they can go to town on the buffet, right? But he's been told he's got to stay away from the donuts.
That's right. Because they're incredibly... the Na'vi are incredibly buff. There's no Na'vi that's a tiny bit overweight even, I noticed. None of them.
Well, that's a good point, actually.
They're perfectly buff. So I'm just thinking that the making of documentary, be an extraordinary scene, wouldn't it, them filming these scenes. So you'd have all these actors covered in ping pong balls and snooker balls. Isn't it? He's broadened out to all the different balls now, hasn't he, Cameron?
Yeah, all the small to medium sized balls.
All the small to medium sized balls.
Squash balls.
A couple of ball bearings.
When it's night.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. squash balls are night scenes, exactly. But so you've got characters covered in balls.
Brussels sprouts at Christmas time.
couple of petonkas as well.
What's a petonka? That's just a word for bollock, isn't it? They're CGIing over their petonkas.
Okay, sorry. Or I haven't seen it. You see, I had no idea.
You've got petonkas for when the French exchange actors are in, when they're doing that part of the
program. Oh, I see, like petonque balls. I see.
I don't know what they're called.
Excuse me, Mr. Cameron, can you get Mike to adjust his loincloth? We can see his petonkas. It's ruining the CG.
No, not his French petonkas, his actual biological petonkas. Yeah, that's the problem.
He says he won't. We're going to have to paint it out afterwards.
Yeah. And obviously, and Maltesers on Friday, as a treat on Fridays, they use Maltesers. Well, different sizes of chocolate balls. Got
don't
Maltesers,
last very long in the lights today. But...
Don't last very long. So, yeah, you've had all these actors covered in balls being quite grumpy. And also, the temptation to make jokes amongst each other, the actors, about, well, tell you what, there's one thing that's got more balls on it than my body, and that's the content of this script. I tell you what's happening. There must be a lot of that going on.
Yeah, the script is balls, I just want to say. Yeah. The script is absolutely stinking.
It is so such balls.
I think that's great, though. I think that's good. We live in tough times, difficult times, and I think it's great reassurance that today you can write a really dog shit script and it might be made into a tentpole movie.
Yeah.
As long as you made some very good movies 30 years ago.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, that's the thing you haven't got going for you, Mike.
That's true. Yeah.
All you need, Mike, is for the previous film in that franchise to have been the highest grossing cinema film of all time.
Yeah, that's the only caveat.
It is that easy.
But it is a beacon for all those bedroom screenwriters.
All you need to do.
Just two steps. Just finish the script. That's the first thing. You've got to actually just get it written.
Yeah.
That's
and
it.
Then you've got to have made, netted £10 billion.
Yeah.
Yeah. And gained 30 years of contacts.
So you've had all these actors covered in balls going, oh, this is a real... You know what I think is the most impressive balls is the balls on whoever there is that came up with this bloody script, the cojones. I've done that. You did that joke yesterday. I know, but look, we've just got to get through
this.
There's
going to be a lot of bickering about that, isn't it?
You know, way to get through this.
Once you're 3 months into the shoot.
But I tell you what, at least I'm not poor fucking naked kid over there. He's got his petonkas on for you.
Who's going to be suing the production in 30 years' time?
Also, I can pretend it wasn't actually me that did it, whereas him, he's actually him on camera. I mean...
But that's the thing, Henry. At the end, I found out that Kate Winslet was in it.
Exactly.
I was like,
what?
Yeah, there's all sorts of people in it, but you'll never know because they're all just CGI'd
up. They can pretend they weren't in it.
Yeah.
I'm Ian McKellen. No one's going to know I'm in this shit. I'm not going to tell anyone. You know what I mean? No.
Just take the money, go to Torremolinos.
That's why the only actor they could get to do that part was an actor that, you know, was doing his first job, I think, probably.
just someone straight out of prison.
Also, my final Avatar thoughts. Mm. This maybe means nothing to people who've not seen it. There's a significant death that happens in the film.
Mm-hmm. Other than the Whalian, the composer.
Well, the composer Whalian that dies is such a weird Whalian to die because they never establish why you should care about this Whalian, really.
I know. Mm-hmm.
They only tell you afterwards when they go, she was a composer. Every time someone dies in the film, Whalian included, I've never felt less emotional stirring at a death in any fiction.
Mm-hmm. Right, okay.
I know what you're saying, because I've actually forgotten who died, and I've just remembered now, but yeah, it was so little, it was so underwhelming.
They died, you're just like,
so they're completely,
yes.
They're completely peripheral to the story.
No, they're not. That's the thing. They're one of the main characters, but they've done such a bad job of making you give a shit about this.
I see.
Blue creature, that they die, and you just go, I don't care.
It's because it's all so generic. It's because... I think one of the problems with the film was because everything is CG, everything is created, and therefore everything is so generic. There's none of the accidental, like in life, you'll just get like there'll be an actor and have like a weird chin or one of his shoulders will be bigger than the other, or a crow follows him round.
You're a big fan of The Hunchback of Notre Dame.
I'm a big fan. Okay, let's face it. We've got ravens, this we've got crows, we've got a love boy. He's the ultimate, he's the best character of all time, right?
There's no bells in this film. Is that what you're telling me? Is that what the problem is?
No, what I'm saying is there's nothing accidental and real about it. Everything's generic, because everything's like, so what, well, what would, also, like, what would an alien look like?
Because
so
everyone's got a perfectly buff body. Exactly. It's part of it, right? Everything's too weirdly perfect.
No one's got, I don't know, one nipple that is the wrong, you know, is an oblong that sticks outwards or on, on the angle, or that opens up like a book, or just a little quirk.
They've left it at home.
Well, they've left it at home, because the little quirks that we all have about us that make us human and unidentifiable, because everything is generic, so everything's sort of idealized in a way. You know what I mean? It doesn't have that random factor of real life in it. So you sort of don't, I think that's part of it. You don't identify.
No, totally. That's it. That's it. Absolutely.
Well, watch this space, dear listeners, because at some point I'll try and hit it, and then the Avatar 2 naysaying podcast will continue. I'll confess, I'm a little bit afraid that I'll really like it.
That could create the great schism, the great three bean schism.
I actually enjoyed. There's a big action sequence which I did enjoy. That's what I'll say.
Yeah. There's some.
All right. I'll soak that up.
Guy's arm comes off at one point. That's quite
good. Ooh, golly.
Also, the other thing that's weird is that you're supposed to hate the technology and like all the kind of natural solutions. But I tell you what, I think I know which side I'd rather getting medical care from.
Right. You're also watching it because of technology.
Exactly.
Anyway, there's literally a bit where the human technology doesn't cure someone and the natural technology does.
I know, but still, I'm sorry. If you've got toothache, you go in that... If you go into with the technology guys, if you're on that planet and you've got toothache, who are you going to? The technology guys, they can make you fall asleep. They can create a fake avatar where you are your own tooth and you can see yourself getting pulled out so you learn about it.
Rather than just sticking your head in a giant luminescent sea urchin.
Or, yeah, you're going with the giant luminescent sea urchin guy. If that's on the high street, Ben, you're walking down the high street. There's a person who's entirely blue saying, I've got a massive sea urchin in it that is incredible.
Stick your head in it.
And just trust me. And also, by the way, if that hasn't sold you, listen to the music playing in our lobby. I'd be like, get me to the nearest dentist that is playing hard rock in their lobby, like dentists tend to. That's where I'm going for my medical care.
Yes.
Last thing. There's one bit that, in terms of that 90s philosophy and all that 90s hippie stuff, or even older than that, I don't know. But there is a bit where a crucial solution to an action sequence involves the heroes getting around together and doing some deep breathing work. Isn't it? Do you remember, Ben?
Yeah.
Literally.
When it comes to the crunch.
They do some deep breathing work and that gets them out of a real bind.
Okay, I'll try and bite the bullet. Although, yeah, I mean, the risk there, I mean, if I manage that between now and the next week's podcast, then, I mean, it's going to be a third week in a row when we're going to be talking about Avatar. That's the risk.
That's the risk, isn't it? But I think at some point for pod content, you're going to have to do it, actually, so we can square the circle to finish it. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Square the circle, get the...
I'll try and dig deep.
I think, Mike, it's got huge nap potential as well. Okay. You've got a full 3.25 hours of potential napping time.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Sold.
And you're on tour now, Mike. You need to be finding things to do in the day in Scarborough and things like that, you know.
Okay. All right. I'll hit Cineplex Scarborough.
Right. Avatar podcast over. Let's turn on the beam machine.
Yes, please.
This week's topic, as sent in by Matt from the Cheese Deli.
Thank you, Matt from the Cheese Deli.
Thanks, Matt.
Is the moon.
Ooh, the moon.
I saw the whole of the moon.
Bit of Water Boys, is it, Benji?
Do you think that in 1969, man went to the moon?
Ooh. It's a great conspiracy, that one, isn't it? Because there's really not a lot you can do about it.
There's not a lot
you can shout outside NASA and wear a sandwich board and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you can't, there's no email stream for that, right? There's no WikiLeaks for the 69 moon landing.
Yes.
So you can't kick in the door of Nancy Pelosi or a pizza restaurant in Washington, D.C.
But is it a coincidence, Mike, that all of the people who went on that mission are dead?
They're not, though, are they? Buzz Aldrin's alive, I think.
Coincidence? Well,
coinky-dink.
I'm just checking. He's alive. He's 92.
Well, is it a little bit odd, Ben, that only one of the people connected to that mission are still alive?
Did you see that video a few years ago where someone, I think a conspiracy theorist, shouted out to Buzz Aldrin something about him never having been on the moon, and he just lamped them, just punched
really?
Them in the face. Yeah, it's a really good video.
Fair enough.
I did hear a story about Buzz Aldrin doing it, and it's apocryphal, but I'll say it anyway. Buzz Aldrin visiting Great Ormond Street many, many years ago, and the kids being hugely excited that an astronaut was coming to visit them, and there's some sort of big foyer was there at the time where all these kids sort of spilled out of the wards and were standing on the railings at these different levels looking down into the foyer expecting Buzz to arrive. And then just sort of middle-aged man in quite a nice suit pitches in. They were so disappointed. There was no... Where was the spaceman?
They thought it was going to be...
Yeah, where was the helmet? Where was the special briefcase?
Darth Vader. They thought Darth Vader was going to come in. Yeah.
Sandwiches in it. Yeah. And then apparently they just, to a man, just turned on their heels and went back to the wards. They were gone. The ultimate damp squib.
Yes, they should have thought of that.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't promise 500 kids they're going to meet an astronaut and then just turn up with an off-the-peg Marks and Sparks. It's not right.
I've got a signature of Michael Collins.
Oh, really? The pilot? Or the Irish revolutionary? The astro pilot? You mean the guy that gave them a lift to the moon?
Yeah, so he went to the moon but didn't go on the moon, which must have been a weird position to be in.
So hang on. So there was three of them, was there?
Yes.
Yeah.
So one of them had to stay in the ship.
Michael Collins had to stay. He had to stay with... He kept the engine running, basically.
Okay.
That's the idea.
In case things went wrong, just keep it on.
Yeah.
Get the heck out of here, big
exactly,
time. Because it was sort of a heist, wasn't it? It was planned like a heist.
Yeah, yeah. And also, I think it had a bit of a fiddly ignition as well, so they didn't want it then stalling, and then they couldn't get it started.
Yeah.
Very hard to get jump leads out there, and you know who's going to get you, who's going to push you down the hill. You know, it's impossible.
And to get the RAC out there,
certainly at that time in '69, it's just not on your policy. There's no way it's on your policy.
And it's the classic thing where you said you'd write down your membership number, you haven't, so it could be awkward on the phone as well. So Armstrong, he got off the... is it module? Can we say the landing module?
We can say module,
There's the land. Do they call it the lander? There's something
the lander.
I'd accept module, I'd accept pod, I'd accept craft.
Okay.
So Michael Collins, I think, stayed in the sky, basically.
Yes.
And then Buzz Aldrin and Neil Armstrong went down on the little
landing
lunar module.
Let's call it lunar module.
Okay,
landing pod. We'll call it the lunar. The lunar module. Okay.
Yeah.
So okay. You know what? I've got to say, it is starting to feel a little bit of a stretch, isn't it? Because I mean, now look, this isn't. This is by no means scientifically watertight what I'm doing, but I have been sketching out while we've been talking. I've drawn a picture, for example. I've done a basic sketch of the lunar module.
You've also
written the word Liam Neeson.
Where is he? How's he connected? You've drawn a slice of bread, is what I can see. You've written Liam Neeson across it. Is that Liam Neeson written in jam across?
Look,
apricot jam, Mike, written across the
Mike. We all have what we need to do privately to get us through the day. Yeah. for some of us, it's like for David Cameron, it's doing breathing exercises and chanting "Hammer, hammer, hail" for 2 hours.
Do you mean James Cameron?
You keep doing this.
No, I'm talking about the ex-leader of the Prime Minister of our country, mate. Yeah. It was friendly conservatives, wasn't it? Hammer, hammer, hail. it was the ultimate. I've got a leather necklace with a little
it was actually,
shell on the end, and I go hammer, hammer, hail, and I'm draining your pension funds. That's basically the manifesto. So the reason I wrote Liam Neeson down is I'm afraid it's something else I remembered about Avatar a minute ago that I was going to say and I forgot to.
Right.
So, but I won't go into it now. But I'll just say it in one go, and then we'll move on. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Literally all of the aliens, male, female, old, young, look like Liam Neeson. That's just something for you to all...
Just chew on that.
He's uncredited. Just, shocking.
He's completely uncredited, but his face is every single face. They basically, I think they only had time, we needed one face, so we spent all the mud budget on the hammer, hammer, hey! That lady is much more expensive than we thought she was. So we've had to write the script in 45 minutes. we have to stick to our palette saving measures of one colour. It's blue, the cheapest colour.
It's blue. Papyrus, we've talked about papyrus. We're not changing the font now. It's too late.
We're not changing. We're sticking with papyrus. Obviously, blue is the cheapest colour because if you look up and down most of the time on Earth, it's blue. It's blue everywhere, isn't it? The sky's blue. The sea, most of the Earth is the sea, so you can easily grab. It's just the easiest one to sample. It's completely free. It's still copyright free. obviously, Michelangelo invented orange. A lot of the colours have...
Copyrights
attached to them, but complex.
Yeah.
And I think same way it goes face. So because we give them all an individual face. We can't do that anymore. They've all got to have one face. Liam Neeson owes me a favour for not casting him in Avatar. Yeah. He still owes me for that.
And he's put his face in the public domain as well, hasn't he? Recently.
And his face is now public domain. Yeah.
Yes, Creative Commons face.
Yeah. Obviously, because he's also it's 50 years after you're born, isn't it, that your face runs out of copyright?
He's exactly right. Yeah.
Yeah. He's over 50 now.
Unless it's an official secret, in which case
that's right.
Another 20.
Yeah. Yeah. For example, Kim Philby's face.
Okay.
The point is, I'm just thinking it does look a bit of a stretch, doesn't it? Because you've got the landing. Supposedly, we're supposed to think this landing podule doesn't even sound like a real thing. Mm. Worked. How the blimmin' Jiminy Cricket do they get that landing podule back up to the, what are we calling it, a megaship, a mothercraft?
Floating hotel? I think that's a good
point. Untethered Premier Inn? Yeah.
That is the hard bit, isn't it? I would imagine.
Yeah.
But I would imagine the answer is thrusters.
Of course, good point, Ben. Good point. Saved it.
thrusters. Very good.
I've forgotten about thrusters. So, was it always going to be not Liam Neeson? What's he called?
Michael Collins.
Neil Armstrong.
Of course, Liam Neeson played Michael Collins.
The other Michael Collins.
The other ones.
Yeah. that's a strange.
He didn't. That guy didn't retrain.
That would be a good mashup movie, though, wouldn't it?
And then 50 years later, pilot the moon ferry.
Yeah, so Neil Armstrong.
Yeah.
Oh, God, we've got another name with two famous people attached to it. So we've got Michael Collins.
There's
we've got
not Michael, two Neil Armstrongs.
We've got Liam Neeson. Yeah. We've got Neil Armstrong, right?
Neil Armstrong. Stretch Armstrong.
Yeah.
Stretch. the bloody the trumpet guy. Louis Armstrong.
He was famous. There. That's where do you think you get your thrusters from? The trumpet-operated thrusters. Doesn't just happen.
I tell you what, wait. We don't have all the time in the world. We need to get that. Oxygen's running out. We've totally got the wrong Armstrong on this mission. I mean, we just got sitcom after great sitcom getting produced by this, by these name coincidences.
For God's sake, Louis, pick up a bit of moon rock and get moving. Shift it. Now your trumpet doesn't fit in your space mask. It'd be ridiculous. Could manage a bugle tops.
And stop putting that cover thing over the thrusters to make them go wah, 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 make a cool noise. It doesn't matter if they make a cool noise. We have to get the hell out of here. So Neil Armstrong.
Yeah.
He got off. So do we know, was it agreed that he'd...
he won a game of tic-tac-toe on the way.
Okay.
To get off first.
Yeah. Michael Collins was already driving Desi, but he was off the source anyway for that year. He was taking sabbatical. Okay. So Buzz and Neil are getting lashed in the back.
What is tic tac toe? Is that a game where you everyone has to say either tic tac or toe, and toe beats tack, tic beats toe, toe beat. is it like paper, rock paper scissors? What is it?
It's noughts and crosses.
Noughts and crosses, but American style. Yeah.
Okay.
Which, by the way, is that thing where when you get to a certain age and you realise that nobody, two people with intellect above an 8-year-old can't win. It just always goes to a draw, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's such a shit game.
I had a lovely experience over Christmas, which was giving my nieces the game Connect Four.
Ooh.
Which is a great game. And it's wonderful to watch them unwrap it and smile for a few moments before.
This is a PS what? This is a PS minus
this
five?
This is some kind what of... It's a PS negative a million.
How many... Where are the...
So you
hand
plug
toggles.
It
to, where's the
you
joystick?
You don't plug it in because it's auto-self-powering. Thanks, Uncle Henry. It's the first auto-self-powering PlayStation. Yeah. And each of these superficially rather boring-looking yellow and red plastic discs, they contain three-dimensional futuristic worlds that we can explore. Brilliant.
And a sharing present as well, right? You said
nieces. A sharing present.
Yeah, a sharing present. This is a two-player game.
Well, certainly... Well, I suppose we can instantly throw away the blue sort of casing with the holes at the storage, throw that away, because obviously once we swallow one of these yellow discs, we'll be transported into the most magical world of all time, won't we, Uncle? Oh, thank you so much.
A Christmas triumph.
One thing I will say about Neil Armstrong, right, is I do think one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind is an excellent quote. Because
well, he got it wrong though, didn't he?
He boo-booed.
That's what they say.
It was meant to be one small step for a man.
A man.
Ah.
But that's the trouble when you just learn your lines and you don't understand them.
Yeah. Step for
they should have got a better actor. Man.
Liam Neeson, for example.
Exactly.
He should have said one small step for a Neil, one giant leap for Neil kind.
Here he comes, it's your old friend Neil. He lives his life with uncommon zeal. He's got grade 7 on bassoon, and he's the first man on the moon.
I think that is one small step for a man, one giant leap.
It's a really good line.
Such a good line. It's such a good quote. And I was thinking about quotes the other day. You know, we may have talked about this before a bit, but it really annoys me. Certain quotes, you just go, that is not a great quote. That's just because that famous person or that particular person said it. For example, everyone's going to have their 15 minutes of fame. I mean, how good a quote is that? People are always talking about that. What are you talking about? What does that even mean?
I feel the same way about all of us are in the gutter, but some of us are looking at the stars.
Oh.
Because A, what time of day is it? B, are you living in a major urban conurbation, in which case you generally can't see the stars? C, what if there's a jutting balcony or something above it? Is that what you mean?
No, that's not what I mean.
Keep talking. Okay, keep talking. You've certainly intrigued this guy. I want to know more. So yes, keep talking.
I guess what it is maybe I'm being thick. I'm not really sure what he's getting at.
Is he saying he's not face down in the gutter? He's looking up.
He's looking up. He's saying we're all flawed, isn't he?
No, is he?
Ultimately.
But some of us have aspirations. Is that what
I think so. I think so.
I don't know. It doesn't hit my heart, really.
I do think it's a great one. But I also think, 15 minutes of fame, like, why is that such a good quote? Because people go, oh, I suppose he's having his 15 minutes of fame. But why is it 15 minutes? Is it just because F and fame start with F? Is that why it's a good... Why is that such a great quote?
Because it could have been 5 minutes of fame.
Or 40. Or 45. Yeah. 55. 4 million.
And 44.
Also, if anyone else said that, like, if a guy called Brian, yeah,
who he does his job every day. He does his grind. He does his daily grind.
Yeah. Kelp weaving.
Yeah. He weaves kelp.
Hang on. You know, he talks about how there's no famous people called Luke.
And yeah.
There's no what?
Are there any famous Brians?
Bless him.
May.
De Palma.
Come on.
Okay.
Windsor.
Brian Windsor.
Brian Windsor.
The real name of the King of King Charles.
The real name of King Charles.
King Charles' secret older brother.
All stand for the king!
We're entering the regal zone. Regal zone. Regal zone.
Off with their heads!
On with the show.
Listen not to the whores and the shopkeepers.
Bring me more advisors.
The regal zone.
But what I'm saying is, if that if just some guy said that, oh, everyone gets their 15 minutes of fame, no one would care, but it's just Andy Warhol said it. Same goes for Neil Armstrong, probably. But...
Well, hang on.
I don't...
Because it's to do with the fact that he's walking on the moon.
Yeah, exactly. To be fair, this one is context specific. And it's the best thing you could say in that situation.
If you said it walking into an Asda, it wouldn't have the same effect, would it?
Yeah. Okay, here's a good competition for us, right? You've got no time to prepare. You genuinely try and say the most inspiring thing you can. You're stepping onto the moon. Ben, go. No time to think. You've got to say it now.
New horizons.
Fucking bland. Right, Mike.
I was given half a second to think of it.
Exactly, that's the game.
Mike's had longer, so it should be better.
Try and be as inspiring as you can.
The dust of the moon is yet dust, as is the dust of earth beneath my fingernails.
Incomprehensible garbage. And that's the end of the game. Well done, everyone.
Come on, Henry. Henry, you'll go. 3, 2, 1, Henry. Beep.
The bare wasteland before me
Beep.
Is dry and grey. Earth Beep. Is covered in animals.
So
and
always
it's a lovely place where we should all... And if I've learned anything from this experience, it's that we should all work together as a team, wear leather bracelets, because hammer, hammer, hey,
oh, hey, oh, he's done it.
He's done it.
He's done it.
Banking at Omnicorp.
Omnicorp. Omnicorp.
Omnicorp the sponsors
only bank
the moon.
To have ATMs in space.
That was actually quite good, Henry.
Thanks, mate.
Yeah, well done.
I guess the point is, you know, Neil Armstrong did have quite a long time to think about it, and I believe someone wrote the line for him.
I would imagine there was a bit of a, yeah, there would have been a sounding board at the very least.
It's the kind of line which it feels, you know, very simple, but, you know, as we know, you know, we're all seasoned writers, aren't we, here?
Wordsmiths.
Yeah, we're wordsmiths. Mm. I mean, yeah.
Dreamweavers.
For me, yeah. I can take a word and, you know,
you can certainly
down,
say it. You can grow a mushroom
say
out
it.
Of it.
I can grow a mushroom out of it. No, but for us, words are like, you know, I mean, they're like little, you know, we take them and we, don't we, Ben? What do we do with them? We chuck them around.
I think of them as prize stallions and I breed them. They're stud words.
That's right. And when people employ you as a writer, you see it as selling your semen, don't you? And and that's why you declare it as a veterinary transaction, don't you?
Mm-hmm. That's and right. You, that, it's yeah. also helpful from a tax perspective as well.
That's right.
Yeah.
Because animal spunk is seen as a universal...
it's a tax-free dividend for the world. It's how HMRC describe it. Okay, let's read your emails. And instead of using our normal email jingle this week, we've had one sent in by Samuel...
Oh, thank you, Samuel.
Thanks, Samuel.
Dans la France.
Oh.
Or en France, or have you say it. In France.
Yeah, en France.
Samuel, I believe, is French.
Samuel.
Samuel writes, hello, cher Arico.
Lovely.
Greetings from Brittany.
Oh, that's very good.
So I'm imagining a striped sort of top.
Yeah, buttons down one shoulder.
Buttons down one shoulder. A bowl of cider.
That's right.
Yeah, with a hoof in it.
And a piss-smelling sausage waiting.
Full of innards. Waiting to burst onto your plate.
You're making my mouth water. Stop it. Stop it.
So Samuel writes, hello, greetings from Brittany. Attached to this message is my rendition of the email section jingle. I decided to sing it in French in order to appeal to what I imagine must be your huge French-speaking listenership. It's a testament to my indecisiveness, as the one-minute piece features four different parts in various incompatible styles. You can see it as a sort of jingle buffet of sorts. Exciting,
oh, wow,
but unfulfilling and slightly frustrating. So, here we go.
Quand t'envoies un courriel, tu dois remercier tous les facteurs qui t'ont précédé. Et quand t'envoies un courriel, ça représente le progrès, comme un robot qui fait un cheval. Ça représente le progrès, comme les chips à la pizza. Bonjour monsieur le facteur, avez-vous du courrier aujourd'hui? Je le mange des conneries.
Oh, wow.
Mon Dieu.
Ooh, la, la. Merci bien.
Merci beaucoup.
For me, that, I think that might be the favourite jingle we've ever had that's played on the podcast.
That was pretty darn good.
Really is,
I think that's my favourite.
Quite super.
Amazing.
It reminded me of late Serge Gainsbourg.
Yes.
Where, because he's past his sort of chanson phase and he's into kind of quite, he tried some experimental stuff, just some reggae. Just was like, I think, Gainsbourg. But that, it had a kind of... it had that kind of sordid, it had a slightly just sort of sordid feeling to it that Gainsbourg brought to everything he did.
I feel like I've been on holiday.
So, Henry, I'm not a French speaker, you are.
Mm.
Was he faithful to the original jingle or was it?
I think he was, yeah.
I heard mention of a cheval.
He said cheval. And he got a rhyme. He did quite a nice rhyme in there somewhere. I've forgotten. Because it was
the original one, or you've forgotten the French one that we just listened to.
I've forgotten the French one just listened to. Because I didn't have very good immediate memory. If you give me sort of 20 minutes, I'll probably remember it. But it's too recent at the moment.
Okay.
You know what I mean? It's too fresh. But I think I was so swept up in the mood of the piece that I didn't focus on the lyrics that much.
Well, thank you, Samuel.
Yes, that was so good.
Merci.
I think, as I say, my favourite. I'm just, it's. I've got a really good record called Paris in the Spring, which is a compilation record of music from Paris in 1968.
Oh,
yeah.
It's a really good record. I would recommend it heartily to those listening. And it's got that vibe, that kind of French mm-hmm. 60s pop vibe, which is really. Absolutely fantastic. So he writes, please keep on beaning, or as we say in France, continuez de haricoter. Cheers.
I didn't know what the verb to bean was.
Haricoter. Please. Continuez de haricoter, I think is what he's saying.
I guess he's created that from
No, come off it. Come off it. That's probably one of your top 500 regular verbs.
Yeah. He also says, P.S., please make a France jingle. I think he's right. I think we do mention
we
France
that?
Enough. That it's,
that is true. But that's going to be a particularly tough task given where he's set the benchmark.
It's true.
Yeah, I think... I don't
French flavoured music.
Also, how do we avoid... It's such a cliché-ridden territory, isn't it? How do we avoid...
And we've done it so successfully with the other...
Because we've never done a cliché on this entire podcast. We've kept that, haven't we? From the beginning, it's one of our rules.
Of course.
Yeah. There'll be no clichés of any description on this podcast.
Exactly.
So this might be our biggest challenge yet.
So any more languages... Actually, I think any more jingles in foreign languages I would really welcome.
Yeah.
You know, like other language versions of our theme tunes, that would be great, of our jingles.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, let's have Luxembourgish, please.
So thank you, Samuel. Let's kick off with Listener Bollocking of the Week.
Uh-oh.
Accessing Listener Bollocking. Bollocking Loading. Bollocking Loaded.
Dear Beans, this is from Louis. Dear Beans, Mike.
Oh, no.
Last week you described your solo tour as your Harry Styles moment. As I'm sure you know, while Styles might have had the most successful post-One Direction career, it was in fact Zayn Malik who went solo from the band.
Oh.
The remaining four members, Harry, Liam, Niall, and Louis, continued... This might be from Louis.
So he's going to know, right?
Setting the record straight. They continued to perform and make music together before splitting altogether at a later date. But what Louis doesn't know is that we previously had a fourth member of Three Bean Salad.
Josh Rogan.
Josh Rogan, Joe Rogan's brother.
Joe Rogan's brother, Josh.
That's when we were Four Bean Salad. And due to a technical thing, we never actually put any episodes out, but he was very much a member.
And it was much more edgy, wasn't it? It was much more...
He wanted to do he wanted it to be the Josh Rogan, Rogan Josh show, didn't he? Where we just, every week we'd eat a Rogan Josh.
That's right.
Or we'd put Josh Rogan in a Rogan Josh, and then we'd discuss how that went.
Which is a lovely snappy idea. It was a lovely top line idea, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Because it's got Josh Rogan in it, so it's got the Rogan thing, and it's also, it's curry, so it's very, you know, it's very, well, we
culinary
thought it was,
podcasts are a big hit, aren't they? You know,
people love culinary podcasts.
Yeah.
And it was a mixture of that, and obviously we weren't, well, we had to spend a lot of time saying this. We were not anti-vax, were we? We were just interested, weren't we, in multiple opinions. And that's what we had to spend so much time.
And the fact that Josh Rogan said that eating a Rogan Josh would stop you from getting COVID was something that we have yet to properly disprove.
Exactly.
You know?
And also...
The work hasn't been done.
Yeah.
Especially when he was adding that, is it ivermectin he was adding to the...
It was.
The Rogan Josh.
Instead of chicken. Yeah, it was ivermectin, right. Rogan Josh, yeah.
That's right. And of course, that's because we had a fifth member, didn't we, before that, who was ivermectin, didn't we?
Whose job, he was a horse tranquilizer, that was
his. That's right, that was his job. Watching him at work was exceptional, wasn't it? He could do it with, all he needed was his hands. and the rest of his
and
body.
A blowpipe.
and
he would strangle horses until they were
until they gently screamed themselves to
incontinence.
tranquilizer is it? It's deworming.
Well, again, we had to spend so much time, didn't we, saying it's not a tranquilizer. It's not a tranquilizer.
The correspondence section was very busy.
There was so much correspondence. And the other thing we had to keep on, and it's such a shame, we had to keep on saying, and the payment structure was not a pyramid system. It wasn't, quite simply, it was not pyramidal in structure, was it? It was simply, we invited you to join the community. Yeah.
Yeah. The only similarity with the pyramid would be that we thought it would stand for 8,000 years and would be something that mankind would be proud of for the rest
of
time.
That's right.
What we thought.
Yes.
That's and the only similarity.
The only similarity. And of course, the plan was for the biennial human sacrifice.
Which is why that's where Ivor's gone.
Which is so brave of him, wasn't it? Luckily he was tranquilized to the nines, wasn't he, before
the big hammer came out.
It was a human podcast. Yeah.
Yeah, we've come a long way, guys. We really have come a long way.
We have come a long way.
And I do wish Josh Rogan all the best with his current endeavours. Very much the Zayn Malik of our crew. That's what I've always said.
Yeah, that's what you've always said about him, isn't it?
And thanks for bringing that to our attention. I don't think I could live with myself if I ever accepted a bollocking that was a One Direction-based bollocking. So I'm just going to simply stand my ground and reflecto-bollock that.
Reflecto-bollock.
This might be your first ever, I think.
It is, yeah.
You just tend to roll over and
he does roll over,
rolling
he?
Over this time. Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm a provincial middle-aged man.
So for you, it's just the mention of One Direction that means you're not going to engage.
When faced with facts, and even if I've been wrong, if it's to do with One Direction, then what we do, we say, well, it's not my sort of thing anyway. More of a Led Zeppelin man. And we move on.
Mike, I've been having a bit of a moment with Harry Styles this year, which is, or last year, which is,
Are you writing his gags for Between the Songs?
I'm writing his gags now.
And they're all very anti-Zayn Malik, aren't they?
They're all very anti-Zayn Malik.
It's a bit much.
I've basically twice last year, I Shazammed a song on my phone. And it was bloody Harry Styles.
Because you just had to know what it was.
Well, that's what I do when I want to know what song is. I Shazam it. And normally I Shazam it, and it's a bit of a sort of patting myself on the back moment where I go, oh yeah, cool, it's some kind of new Brooklyn band who Pitchfork Media think are great and who are pretty cool.
I think it's the Kings of Leon.
I must have pretty good taste because I just... And then, but yeah, so what this happened twice that I've Shazammed, thinking, oh, this must be some cool,
maybe out of Portland,
maybe Portland, from the Portland scene, or certainly there's some new wave influences. It's really quite interesting the way they obviously they've, you know, they've ingested Joy Division, but given it, it's got that sort of urban, post-industrial urban, really, really interesting, but with a lightness of touch, which is really quite current Harry Styles. I tell you what, I've never re-trousered my phone that fast in my life. practically burnt a hole in my chinos. I'll re-trouser that fucking hell. Regroup, Henry. Get home. Regroup at home. Just don't let anyone know what's happened. Just smile at them. Smile at them. Fine. And yeah. Do you ever do that?
Was it his song Watermelon Sugar?
I think one of them was Watermelon Sugar, which is...
That's the only one I know.
The other one was As It Was, which I've turned up was the most streamed song of last year or something in Britain.
Oh, I've not heard that one.
It's a really, really good tune.
Tell you what, though, I saw on YouTube Harry Styles doing a cover with his band of Peter Gabriel's Sledgehammer.
Oh.
So very much up your street, potentially, Mike.
Yeah.
It's very good.
I'll have to very good. Out.
Yeah, search for Harry Styles' Sledgehammer. Great performance. Love it.
Maybe I'll watch that while I'm watching Avatar.
That's a good idea. Watch that while I'm watching Avatar. Well, you can get now the new 3D, the new 4D specs, it's called. You can get with Avatar where you put it on and you just watch something else. Brilliant. It's brilliant, apparently. It's all right.
Well, thank you, Louis. That's a first reflective bollock from Mike.
Ooh. Thanks, Louis.
Maybe 2023 could be a different source for Mike.
Yeah.
Different.
Yeah.
Might find new
my,
leaf.
Might find a bite.
Yeah. Watch out, world. This is an email from Ben. Different Ben. Mm-hmm. Hi, Beans.
Hello, different Ben.
Ben's sitz bath experiment reminds me of the least relaxing experience I have ever had. A bike crash at university absolutely tore my ass asunder.
Oh, dear.
Ooh.
And I had to take 6 sitz baths a day while recovering.
Oh, God. Full pouch. Full quiver of sitzes, the six sitzes, yeah. That's maximum you can do. Yeah.
Otherwise your ass gets too briny.
That's right, yeah.
It technically becomes a pickled ass.
That's right. Yeah.
He says, I couldn't take a real bath while my leg was in a cast, so the hospital sent me home with a sort of baby bath / toilet insert.
That's right, yes.
It took me about 10 minutes on crutches to set one up in the dorm toilet stall.
Oh,
and then I had to soak like a pervert's tea bag for another 10 minutes, praying that nobody used the neighbouring stall or asked why I'd brought a 2-litre bottle of warm water and a foot bath in with me. Miserable.
Oh, dear, Ben.
Oh,
so he was having to sit bath in a sort of public toilet.
Yeah, shared bathroom. The queue outside the door.
And
oh, sorry to hear that, different Ben. Sorry that we dredged that back up for you.
Sorry to have brought that back. Yeah, because he's referring to a product you can get, isn't it? Which is because Ben and I, we did our sitzing at home in our normal lie down baths, didn't we? But you can buy a little imagine a sieve but with no holes in it, which you hang on the inside
a
of
bowl.
Your toilet. A bowl. Yeah. A non-perforated sieve or bowl if you prefer. Yeah.
If you can't imagine a bowl, imagine a sieve and then just one by one take away the holes.
Just one by one, seal them up mentally. And yep. And remember, don't be careful that you don't mentally unseal some of the ones that you've already sealed as you go around. So probably come up with a system where each of those holes has a number or name attached to it. you could use the Cicero technique, which is you imagine a very, very big house, and each of those rooms in that house has a hole in it, and fill them up as you go around. But you hang it on the inside of your loo, don't you? Sit down.
Yeah.
And as you described, you get the sitz bath. You can have it on the move rather than just at home.
But in the bath.
Yeah, exactly.
On the move is pushing it.
On the move is pushing it.
But I don't know, you know.
It's like a commode, I suppose, but for baths rather than going to the loo. Was that a university that happened to him?
Yeah. Yes.
No, that's not my ideal, is it? Difficult time when you're meeting people. Well, was it Freshers' Week?
He didn't say, did he? Let's hope not.
In my mind, it was Freshers' Week.
Day one.
Yeah.
Oof. Oof.
Patreon.com/freebeansalad.
Thank you, Patreoners.
Thank you.
As always.
Thank you very much indeed.
And if you're interested, go to patreon.com/freebeansalad, where there are little tiers you can sign up for. There's the no ads tier. There's the bonus episodes tier for the monthly bonus episode. There's also the Sean Bean tier, which gives you a shout out in the Sean Bean Lounge, where Michael spent last night.
Oh, you betcha.
Another classic.
Oh, what a night. One to remember, I'd say, because of course it was the... It was the
annual municipal bin collection, wasn't it?
It was.
It has to happen.
It was. Indeed. Thank you, Ben. And here's my report.
It was the annual municipal bin collection day at the Sean Bean Lounge last night, which meant, of course, it was the birthday of James Hole, which meant, of course, the 42-candled cake made for him by Toby Krause had to go directly into the food waste bin. As per, James dithered over his wish and failed to blow out or remove the candles prior to the cake's disposal, and it fell to Daniel Sherrington to fish them out before handing the soiled candles to Harry Rhodes, who was this year's wax bin captain, and giving the flaming wicks to Benedict Corby, who'd drawn the short straw and was in charge of separating waste that was aflame, emitting radiation, or capable of biting. MC Herman on dry recyclables found their wheelie bin strangely empty, but a tip-off from James Nicholas threw light on the matter, and it was discovered that JKT on wet recyclables had been stealing MC's goods and dunking them in hot piss. Louise and Skye bravely volunteered to put out the municipal sin bin, which this year contained Justine Malone and Jennifer Dunstan Furness, both of whom deny all the charges. There was top-quality work from Alex H on landfill, Gianna Pollard on seafill, and Paul Rogers on skyfill. Rob Hearn innovated with an open clinical waste skip, which drew criticism and plaudits in equal measure. Jacob Douglas won this year's grant from the Sean Bean Institute for Research into the Peacekeeping, Post-Apocalyptic and Pastoral Applications of Bin Juice, and left happy with 40 gallons still and 40 sparkling. And the Sean Bean Tadukan Fly Tip Award went to Alex Baker, who successfully got rid of a bag of AC to DC adapters within a microwave, within a cracked bath, within a chest freezer, within an L-shaped sofa that also had a wasp's nest in it. The Sean Bean Lounge has never felt so fresh. Thanks all.
Okay, so that's the end of the podcast. To play us out, we have, as always, a listener version of our theme tune. This is from Chris from New Zealand.
Okay, hello,
brackets
Chris.
Near Diamond Harbour.
Oh, lucky Chris.
Lovely part of the coast. Lovely part of the coast. Yeah.
Chris writes, please may I present my humble offering of a theme tune in a style that I'm calling New Parental. It's a four-piece composition comprising a baby's toy glockenspiel that only features five notes, C, D, E, F, and G,
okay.
One of which dings while the other four dink.
Ooh. Okay, yeah.
B, the atonal humming of a sleep-deprived man in his 30s filling the remaining notes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
C, the constant background whining of a dog confined to her crate because there's a cat out of the window that she would like to bark at.
Wow.
And D, the plaintive squealing of a baby who would like to hit his own glockenspiel, but it's daddy's turn for a second.
Wow, what a quartet. Wonderful.
This has been recorded live in one take on a cell phone, and I've elected to keep it pure by doing absolutely no post-production.
So raw, so fresh. Thanks, Chris.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you. Thank you, Chris.
And thanks all for listening.
Bye.
Cheerio.
Bye. Da, da, da. Da, da, da. Da, 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 da. Da, da.